outlines or some copies of the lesson that's coming that we're going to be studying this evening. You might want to open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 15. Our text that has been assigned to me this evening is the prodigal son. And so we invite you to take these lessons, outlines, and follow along with us. Paul, here somewhere, if you will, right here on this side. And follow along, join in. I hope you are accustomed to Christ discussion. We want to invite you, encourage you to make comments. This is a text that all of us are familiar with, and even though we're familiar with it, we can certainly benefit from it. So tonight I want to encourage you to let's join together and make application. I believe that lessons like this especially are lessons that are applicable to our lives. And if I'll listen to what God says through His Word, that I'll be a better servant of His. And I believe you probably feel the same way. While these are coming around, I want to ask a favor of you. Now, Brother Nathan, I guess, I'm not sure when he'll be back, but when Brother Nathan gets back, I want every one of you to bombard him. And I want you to tell him how disappointed you are in him. Because you see, he assigned me tonight knowing that he was going to be gone. And I know that it was so that he would not have to listen to me. So tell him how disappointed you are in him. No, I'm just saying, I love Nathan and appreciate him so much, but just have some fun with him, okay? Because I've already told him how I feel. And so you just join in with me and let's just give him a little hard time. If you will, I want us tonight to read the parable, and then we'll make some discussion of what it means. Somebody that doesn't mind reading, if you will, read Luke chapter 15 for us. I want you to read the first two verses, and then once you read the first two verses, drop down and read verses 11 through 32. Rather lengthy reading, but verses 1 and 2, and then 11 through 32. Let's read that together, if you will. Somebody that doesn't mind reading.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Verse 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came in near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. father, look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.
Uh-huh, please.
And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.
All right, thank you, Brother Tom. Now, you've had several lessons up to before tonight on parables, some of the various parables. What is a parable? Anybody? A picture story. I like that. Very good. So a picture story, meaning it's something that did not necessarily happen, right? Did not necessarily happen. Could have happened, but did not necessarily happen. You probably heard the story. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or heavenly application. So again, picture story sums it up. And so this parable is a parable that I sum up this way. And that is, it's dealing with my relationship with my Heavenly Father. It's a parable that talks about our relationship with God. And notice, if you will, on your little sheets that were passed out, that representations in this parable. First of all, we notice the father in this parable. That father represents God. And so God is, Jesus, in teaching this parable, is using terminology that these people to whom he's speaking to, and we notice in verses 1 and 2, who they are. That's the tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. In other words, men and women like you and me. He's using language that with which they can identify, isn't he? And so he's talking about a relationship, and the Father here is representative of our Father in heaven. And then notice the elder son represents the Pharisees and the scribes, not only them, but also represents, if you will, us sometime in our prideful, our holy attitudes. You know, sometimes we don't always act the way that we ought to act. Look at me like that. I know I'm not the only one. You know, come on. You know, no, we don't always act the way that we ought to act. Sometimes we're a little on the haughty side. Sometimes we're a little on the prideful side, aren't we? And so he's using this elder son to represent that. The younger son here represents what true repentance is all about. So what I want to do now is keep your Bibles open to the text. And I want us to notice and make application. On the chart here, you'll see the son and then the Christian. The son and you and me. First of all, this son wanted his freedom. How do we know that? How did we know that he wanted his freedom? I'm sorry, okay? He asked for his inheritance early, okay? And why would he do that? He wanted to go out into the world. He didn't like the restrictions, did he, perhaps? He didn't like the, he wanted it now. He was selfish, wasn't he? He was selfish. And he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Aren't you glad that we're not like that today? No, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And so, look on the other side of the chart. Compare that. Sometimes you and I grow weary, don't we? How might we grow weary? How might we find ourselves wanting to break loose, if you will, from our Father, but not our earthly Father, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. How might you and I want to break loose? What kind of application? That's right. Sometimes the past is pulling at us, isn't it, Paul? It's pulling at us, and we find ourselves wanting to go back, maybe, and experience that again, or go back, Brother Thompson.
One of the
That's right. And we are bombarded with it, aren't we? And see, I can think of a lot of parables and other scriptures that are just as applicable, but I can't think of a parable or scripture any more applicable to us today than this one is. And that is the world pulls at us, and the world and we are bombarded by all kinds of temptations and even desires sometimes. And so here is if we aren't careful, we become weary. I mean, you know, living the Christian life. And what does the Bible say about the warning about being weary? Or does it? Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't become tired. Don't turn away from it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you see. And so we must stay focused. Stay focused on our Lord.
Weariness and discouragement are two tools of Satan. And he knows once we are Christians, he's lost. And he thinks he's lost us, so he's going to work harder to get us back. So he's going to throw those things into our way to make us weary, to make us want to just throw in the towel, as we say, and go right back to the world. So Satan is constantly after those of us who are in this building, right?
So, Brother Gene, it is Gene, right? See how good I am? Brother Gene, you, if I'm understanding you, you're saying that Satan is alive and well today. Do you believe that? Absolutely he is, isn't he? He is very much alive. Yes, sir. Over here. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I saw a hand go up. Belongs to a woman. That's what I was going to say. He knows our weak spots, doesn't he? And he knows where to tempt us. What tempts you may not bother me one bit. I may wonder why you have a problem with that. On the other hand, what tempts me, you may wonder the same thing. But Satan knows our weaknesses. Okay, very great comment. Anybody else on that point? And so he wanted his freedom. Sometimes we want our freedom from God. You know, Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 6, Paul writes that we are servants or slaves of either God or Satan. It's not a matter of, I'm not going to be a slave of anybody. That we don't have that option, do we? We have the option or choice of whom will be whom we'll serve. But we are either servants of God or we're the servants of Satan. And so Satan, you know, he entices us and he strives to pull us away. And sometimes we want to break away from our master, from our Lord, and we want to go back. Consciously, we may not think that's what we want, but that's what we're wanting. We're wanting our freedom. Okay, great points. How about his selfish desires? What do we see in the text that tells us that he was selfish? If anything. Okay. He certainly did that. Did it start before that? Did we see it before that even? That's certainly part of it. Yes, sir. I have a right to it, I'm entitled to it, and I want it now. Selfish, right? Selfishness. And then, of course, once he got it, he showed his selfishness by wasting it on riotous living. I always stress that riotous, not righteous, but riotous living.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. He just wanted to hand it to him, didn't he? Didn't want to work for it. Eventually, and what he was right, it was his, or would, you know, he was entitled to it by rights at the proper time, but he wanted it now. He felt that entitlement. And he didn't want to work for it. He didn't want to wait for it either, did he? Great point. All right? And sometimes we are selfish. How might you and I wrestle with God, if you will? I mean, here's a man, here in this parable, he shows his selfishness and his, I like the term, it was used a while ago, his attitude of entitlement. How might we wrestle with that very thing? Anybody? Tom? That was the line I was thinking about, Tom. Great minds run together. But I was thinking of, you know, I try to be a good guy. I'm a good husband. I'm a good Christian. I try to live right. I'll try to, you know, do the right things. Why is this happening to me? See, I don't deserve this. This isn't right. This isn't right. Why does God allow, well, I might even say, why does God do this to me? Which is wrong. But, you know, but that sense of entitlement, to the best because of who I am. He had that attitude of entitlement because of who he was, his relationship. Well, we might have the same problem if we aren't careful. Good application. Thank you. Anybody else? Brother Thompson? That's exactly right. And what we want for ourselves, and we don't see the needs of others. Brother, that's a great point. That's an excellent point. Is we need to be constant in this congregation. You need to be, and I don't know you that well, but you need to be constantly aware, looking around, watchful of those who are struggling, those who are suffering. In some way, those who have needs, and reach out to them, you know. And I hope you're doing that, and you probably are. But not just the congregation, but I'm talking about you as an individual. You as an individual. Me as an individual. Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. A passage just came to my mind that I like to point out. This is from time to time, and this is a good point, a good place to do it. Ecclesiastes. And I think it's chapter 9, if I remember correctly. Let me look. Let me find it here. Ecclesiastes 9. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes 9 and look at verse. Let's start and read with me, if you will, beginning with verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9. And verse 10. You know, keep this passage in mind. I confess, I didn't know this passage was in the Bible until a few years ago. I really didn't. And sometimes I found myself in situations which I just didn't know what to say. And I found this passage, and it's meant so much to me. As I, in my own life, as well as sharing it with others. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work of device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. A returning soul under the sun that, look at this now. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, no favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. What's he saying? Enjoy life while you have it. You never know what's going to happen to you. You know, that, those of you, you watch a basketball game, and you've seen these, you watch basketball, and your team looks like your team is close, and you're coming up to the final seconds of the game, and your team is losing, and there's no way that they can win because they're running out of time, just a few seconds. Somebody makes that basket in the last second. Race car comes up to the finish line. It looks like you just know who's going to win, but you don't know. At the last second, something can happen. Listen, look if you will. Look at verse 12. Man does not know his time. Like the fish in a cruel... If that fish knew that he was going to get caught, he'd stay away from that net. See, he wouldn't bite that hook if he knew. The bird caught in a snare. If he knew he was going to get caught, he'd go the other way. What he's saying is, time and chance happen to us all. I put it this way so I can grab hold of it. Sometimes things just happen that we don't understand. We don't understand. Time and chance happen to us all. And so we have to, and we have to recognize that things happen. Not, you know, just because I'm a Christian doesn't entitle me to a better life than others. It rains on the just and the unjust, you see. And so, you know, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm not going to experience rain or I'm not going to experience pain. Jesus died so that I could be saved. He did not die so that I would not be sick. He died so that I could be saved. And so we have to keep all that in its perspective. Okay, this boy, his son, he sought happiness in the wrong places, didn't he? Wrong places. And sometimes we do the same thing. We look for happiness in the wrong places. A lot of times in the world, people are looking for happiness in the bottle. Or they're looking for happiness in adulterous relationships. They're looking for happiness in money, ill-gotten money or gain. Lots of things. But what about us in the church? Is it possible that we might be looking for happiness in the wrong place? We can be, can't we? We can be just as well. And so when we take our eyes off the cross, when we take our eyes off of Christ, we're looking in the wrong place. He received his portions, but he made some unwise choices. And God has given us grace, forgiveness. He's told us how to use it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, that we might show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We don't always do that, do we? See, so here are some parallels that we need to consider. Hold on, next page. The prodigal son's experience in a far country typifies the Christian's experience in sin. Notice he wasted his substance, that is, his possessions. He wasted that he had. He wasted it on riotous living. Look at verse 20 and fill in the blank for me. The only thing he didn't lose was what? I heard it over here. His father's love. Look at verse 20. Somebody read that for us again.
And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him.
Brethren, remember that father represents our Father in heaven. And remember what Paul wrote in Romans. Romans, Paul wrote that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, and as parents, you know that. You know that there's absolutely nothing that your children can do that can cause you not to love them. They want to kill them sometimes, but there's nothing that your children can do that can cause you to no longer love them. You love your children no matter what. God loves us. And we can, and whether we want, whether we like it or not, He's going to always love us. And this young man was lost everything he had except his father's love. And that's what he needed the most, wasn't it? And he'll be thankful for it at the end of the parable. Okay, now let's look at some things sin does. It puts us in spiritual famine. This young man, where did he find himself? He wasted everything, and where did he find himself? In a pig pen. And so here is a man that was in, he was in famine. He was famished because of his unwise choices. And we also know that happens to us. There is no bread of life, that is the Word of God, in darkness. No bread of life there. So when we separate ourselves from the Lord, then we don't have that bread of life. Secondly, sin removes us from fellowship with God. This young man was separated from his father because of his unwise choices. Thirdly, sin cost us our self-respect. Notice from the study there, from the passage, this young man went and joined himself to a citizen of the foreign country. Now, by the way, a foreign country, what's the spiritual application of that? That foreign country? The world? Yeah. And doing what Satan wants us to do. That foreign country is any place we are without God. You know, we're separated from God in the world. And so he went and joined himself to a citizen. He became a slave of that man, that citizen of the foreign country. Well, we've already seen in Romans 6 that Paul says that we're servants of either the Lord or servants of Satan. Sin cost us our friends. Verse 16. Look at verse 16 of the text. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. Notice, and no one gave him anything. Isn't that amazing? I can never read that passage without thinking of what my daddy used to tell me when I was a teenager. And I had a car. Not all of my friends had a car. But my daddy used to tell me, he said, "Son, you'll have friends if you furnish the car and you furnish the gas and you take them around where they want to go. You just ride, you'll have friends. But if your car won't run, your friends will be thin." Well, guess what? I found, you know, my daddy was wiser than I thought he was at the time. I remember my car breaking down. And my friends left me and my car beside the road and took off. And Daddy had to come and get it fixed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, well, actually, what broke down was that we'd run over in a parking lot, there, run over a big old rock or something or other, knocked a hole in the gas tank. That's what it was, knocked a hole in the gas tank. And all I had was bubble gum. Bubble gum didn't work too good. Kind of stopped the hole up. So my friends left, see, because my car wouldn't run. I think about that. And this man was not given, no one gave him anything. Now, while he had his money, while he was, you know, he wasted it on unrighteous living. Sin costs us our friends. Sin is expensive in more ways than one, isn't it? Sin is expensive. Lots of ways. Okay. Now, the prodigal, we've got about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. The prodigal son typifies the return of a child of God. Notice in verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He finally came to his senses, didn't he? He realized what he had given up. He realized what a tragic mistake that he had made. What about us when we turn away from God and down the road things are not going right? Maybe we reflect upon what we've given. Give you an illustration. I had a phone call this morning from out of state. And a woman whom I do not know, do not even know the lady, her sister called me. And this lady has not been in a, she's a member of the church, was baptized a number of years ago, I understand, for the remission of her sins, member of the Lord's church. But she has not been in a church building in years and years and years. And now she is at death's door. And she's scared to die. And her sister, she's had her sister's down in that state with her. She's had her sister reading the Bible to her every day. But her sister's also scared. And she called me this morning. "Can my sister go to heaven?" What would you have told her? Can my sister, her sister's a member of the church, fell away, hasn't been for years. But now she's remembering what she left. She's remembering what she gave up. Can she go to heaven? That's what I told her. That's what I told her. She can go to heaven under what condition? She's got to repent, hasn't she? 1 John 1 and verse 9. Now here's what I told her before this, though. She's lived very dangerously. She's lived very dangerously. This is not the best way to do it, and she admits that. But I said, 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins." Implies repentance. So she's got to repent. She has got to repent, and repentance implies repentance as a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of direction. And I told her, I said, "If your sister, she's got to have the attitude that if she were to get well, that she'd spend the rest of her life serving the Lord." She's got to repent. Now, I have no way of knowing whether she would genuinely repent or not. Well, I thought about her as I think about this prodigal son. Here's a man, he came to himself. And look at verse 18. In verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. For you, I've sinned." That's what we need to do when we, as Christians, when we sin, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God. And as I told her, as long as there is life in that body and she is mentally competent, where she knows what she's doing, she can repent as a Christian. And come back. It's very unwise to take chances because we don't know. Look at verse 19. "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired." I want you to compare that. The brother that mentioned a while ago about his sense of his attitude of entitlement. Go back up here, if you will, verse 12. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So divided him his livelihood. How demanding he was in verse 12. And notice the contrast of that down in verse 18, I will arise, go to my father, and said, Father, I have sinned.
You see the difference?
It doesn't even sound like the same guy, does it? Doesn't sound like the same person. But this is a penitent spirit, penitent attitude. He humbly, look at verse 21, he confessed his sins and he was seeking his father's forgiveness. 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight no longer worthy to be called your son. He's confessing his sins. That's what you and I must do as well. Okay, any questions, comments, or observations? Yes, sir. That's fine. Change of heart. That's right. And that father, he never gave up on him, didn't he? He apparently was watching for him, wasn't he? Waiting for him to return. Because he saw him in a distance, didn't he? You know what the text says? He saw him in a distance. And what did he do? He ran to him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Because there are those that have to see for themselves and get in a lot of hot water before they realize what they have. And then there are those who can understand and stay out of the hot water just by understanding. Mm-hmm. Because we all learn differently.
That's right.
We all will react differently, and the Father had to know this. Mm-hmm. This boy, said no to him, he would probably be worse than having to go out and experience it. Then he's really going to have that change of heart.
Yeah, he knew his son. And I like what you said. Our Father knows us. He knows us. And he wants us to serve, but he wants us to serve him voluntarily. He's not going to make us do anything, is he? And this father didn't make this boy. Right. Yes, there are consequences that must be paid, if you will. I have a book in my library. Some of you have. How many here have ever read the book, Must a Young Die Too? Years and years ago it was printed, published. But anyway, that's the story of, and I think, as I understand at least, it was a Christian, as the Bible teaches, a Christian, not just the broad sense of that term. Somebody over here read it? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. He says, I should have done what I do want to do. And that's really, I think that's interesting, is because
That's right.
And the older brother, he was looking at him. Look what he's done. I've never done you that way. So the older brother was guilty of that, wasn't he? And you know, so in fact, about a year or two ago, maybe a year ago, we studied the parables where I am, and we came to the parable of the prodigal son. And so I took time out of, and I spent about 3 weeks on this text. The prodigal. I started with the father, the father, and then the younger son, and then lesson on the older son, and put those three together. You know, you have got a powerful series of lessons there. But yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. He was angry, and the younger son, jealous, and the younger son has repented. Now the older son needs to, he's the one that needs to repent now, isn't he? Because of his haughtiness and his arrogance, you know, if you will. And we need to, and that's a lesson that for us. When someone comes back to the Lord, those of us here who, you know, we need to be patient, we need to be forgiving. And we don't put them on probation, but when the Lord forgives, and if the Lord's willing to forgive them, we need to forgive. Somebody here, and then over here. Yes, sir. It is. Yeah. And the father was gentle with him, it seems. Son, you know, look what you've had, you know, and all I've got is yours, you know. So the father seems to be, was gentle with him. That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's right. That was a loving father, wasn't it? He went and said, like I said, he didn't say, I told you so. I knew this was going to happen. I knew you'd be coming back, crawling back on your knees. No, he didn't do that, did he? Loving father. Very good. Okay, we got just a couple. Yes, sir. Yeah, we could fall in the same trap. Somebody. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Back here. He was so low, Bill, he couldn't look any way but up, could he? And that's what sin does to us, you know. That's what sin does. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yes, desperate. Yes, that's right. Great point. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Tonight, as we stand together in just a moment and sing the song that has been announced as our song of encouragement, I'd like to encourage each one of us, beginning with me, to look at ourselves in light of what we have studied this evening. Which of the personalities in this parable would best describe us? If we were to be completely honest with ourselves this evening, would the younger son best describe me, or would the older son, we didn't spend much time on him, but would the older son, who felt no need of repentance, but also felt some anger toward the younger brother, and some anger toward the father, it seems, would that best describe us? Keep in mind that we're talking about our relationship with God, the Father. What is your relationship with your Father right now? Are you in that foreign country? Remember, the foreign country is anywhere that you are not with God. Are you in that foreign country? You may not be wasting your body or your money or your energies with prostitutes or with alcohol or with drugs. You may not be doing any of those things. But sin is sin. And sin separates us from God. And the Bible teaches that even those of us who are Christians sin. But the blessing we have as children of God is that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And when we will confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. And so let me ask you this evening. This young man was in that foreign country. And as long as he was there, he was separated from his father. When you and I are separated from our father, we are lost. We are lost. If you were to die tonight in your present spiritual state, right now, as you are right this moment, where would you go? Where would you go? Would you be with God in eternity? Or would you be separated from the Lord because you're in that foreign country? You don't want to die in that foreign country. That young man in the parable recognized that. He realized that he did not want to stay there. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. We're calling upon you this evening. If that's your need, to arise and come to your Father, not to the preacher, not to the elders, not to the church, but come to your Father. Come back home. God will welcome you with open arms. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Will you come home this evening? Repenting of your sins is I believe the thrust behind in this lesson is repentance. This young man repented. That's the only way he could have any kind of relationship with his father once he left. Will you repent tonight? Will you turn away from being sorry for your sins and promise God that by His grace and with His help that you will faithfully serve Him for the rest of the days of your life? We'll be praying for you and praying with you. If you're here tonight and haven't obeyed the gospel, you are separated from God because of your sin. But God, through His grace, has given a plan by which you can be reconciled to Him. Come believing that God is, that Jesus Christ is His Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, added to the church by the Lord. They serve you anyways. We stand together, and as we sing, we let your needs be known.